As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals. But you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo, coming to you live for the Built Ford Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Draft Day 2025. I know you were looking at a Jay Glazer post from last night that caught your attention. So if you want to explain that, you can go ahead.
Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah. So as these draft boards start building up around the league, 32 teams have different, you know, valuations on different players, and they come in all different categories. But there have been longstanding two categories that a lot of teams have gone by. One is the category of injury concerns. That would be like Michael Penix last year. That could be Tyler Shuck this year. A guy that has gone through a lot. A guy's a little bit older, and he's had a number of significant injuries. Well, the Atlanta Falcons overlooked that last year, obviously, when they took Michael Penix. And there's a number of players that fall into this category that fall out of the first round because people are worried about whether or not they can come back from a knee injury or a foot injury or a shoulder injury or a stinger or something of that nature. Number two would be character concerns. And this is where, obviously, guys have been in trouble off the field. And, you know, you go into deep, when you're trying to figure out your first round pick, you're going really deep into their character background to find out if there's anything back in that in the background that is going to give you pause to give somebody some guaranteed money up front. And now, according to Jay, and I think this is right, there is a third. And I go back, and I'm going to be with Peyton Manning this afternoon doing something with him. Mm. I go back to Peyton Manning because I think this is the Peyton Manning rule. And I think a lot of teams have had this, but now there's another reason why you would add this other part of the puzzle to these categories. And that is whether or not a player truly loves the game of football.
Mm.
And the reason why that would become such a big part of the process now is because of the nil deals and how much money a lot of these guys are getting, and the entitlement aspect of them. So, reading between the lines and reading about all different things said about Shedeur Sanders, number one, number of his interviews didn't go well. And he gave off like an air of entitlement. You know, we've read that. There are certain situations where maybe it's more important about being the quarterback off the field as opposed to being the quarterback on the field. You see, so that is the third category that I think Peyton Manning elevated that in the eyes of a lot of general managers and personnel people around the league. I think that was Peyton's initial impact on the league. And I think everybody has been held to that standard. And then I think Tom Brady took it to a whole nother level.
Yeah, or a couple of things. One, Aaron Glenn addressed this, you know, a couple of times since he's been the Jets head coach about how he looks for that more than anything in the players these days. Mm-hmm. So I do like that part of Aaron Glenn, even though I've been against the hire of those guys since the beginning. But just shows you what Jay is saying is right. Another thing, though, I know that these guys are young and they still need some life experience. But in the case of Shedeur, I know he's flashy. He showed the watch. He's got the $100,000 car, whatever it is. But he has got to know, being Shedeur Sanders, with his dad as Deion, that if he doesn't take this seriously, put the work in like he had to do down at the
Jackson State,
then at Colorado, that he's going to be a joke. He has to know that. So if you're telling me that he's not taking it seriously or going through the motions because he already got a bunch of money in college, then shame on him for not understanding that. Yeah. But I don't believe that's the case. I think he does know that. And you can also, you can be flashy or seem like you're, you know, putting yourself on a pedestal and then also put the work in as well. And I'm not worried about that part of him. I don't think he's any good is, you know, why I wouldn't draft
all right.
him.
All right, well, I'm just saying I feel bad for the kid because he has to live under a huge spotlight, and Deion has not hidden him at all. I mean, coached him in high school, coached him, you know, at Jackson State, and then ultimately brought him to Colorado and just, you know, put him up in the Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
After 2 years at a 13-14 record or something. I mean, like, Deion's not hiding him at all. I mean, he's putting him out there. And I just, you know, I feel bad for the kid because I think he's got to live up to, like, unreal expectations. Now, part of me says that, you know, he wants those unreal expectations and he wants to live up to them and he should be able to handle it given, you know, the way the things that have gone on in his life. But I don't know if it's actually going to transfer to the NFL or not. I thought a month ago, how did the Giants not take him? And now, as we get here on draft day, with all the things that have been said and written, I mean, it's like, man, is he going to fall out of the first round? And that may happen. I mean, that really could happen. And that could be the ultimate wake-up call like it was for me.
You know, it is interesting, though, and I know that you know, we talked about what type of quarterback the Giants want. They want an Eli clone. They drafted Daniel Jones. He was an Eli clone. Now they're apparently zeroing in on Jackson Dart, who went to Ole Miss. It's like this is one of the things we're talking about from the Shedeur Sanders standpoint, and it's not, has nothing to do with the race thing like Dan and Carteret was talking about. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a personality thing where, you know, it's like a more of a ho-hum, here we go. Not going to cause any waves. I'm the quarterback. Giants pride, and so on.
Yeah, there's no question. If they ended up with Shedeur Sanders, it would be the lead story everywhere.
Yeah,
here.
Right. And I don't think they are going to draft him. And if Brian Daboll believed in him and thought that the guy was a can't miss quarterback, then they would draft him. But I think it's the combination of the fact that he probably thinks he's more like a mid first round guy as opposed to going number three overall, with the fact that maybe the Giants don't want that type of noise around the quarterback position. I don't know.
If he comes off as an entitled kid who made a lot of money nil-wise, you know, that third category that Jay Glazer was talking about, does he truly love football or does he want to be a part of football because of what football brings to him as a celebrity, then I think there's going to be a lot of reticent general managers not wanting to touch that.
Yeah, but yeah. I agree with all of that. I really do think, though, that Shedeur knows he has to put in the work and isn't going to just step on the NFL field and think that he's going to be the greatest thing ever. I mean, and Deion, by the way, is as much of a showman as he is, I'm sure is telling him that every single day.
I don't think so. I think.
What? I mean, he.
I think that they're. You know, that they've been playing this thing up now for 2 years. And this is one of the reasons why I think, not only because of the money and because of the opportunity that Colorado had given Deion, but it also puts a spotlight on his son and gives his son a chance to say, you know, or at least play major college football and prove to people that he can play at that level. So the numbers tell you he can play at that level.
Yeah.
But the way he got those numbers and other things that may be happening around him, that may not be for every coach or every general manager or every owner in the NFL. That's what I'm talking about, and that's that third rail that Jay Glazer is pointing out.
Yeah, and we'll see if that's a fair thing or not. But the fact of the matter is that all you can do on draft day is project into the future based on the evidence that you have now.
I think that, you know, for him, he's got to go somewhere where there is a strong structure in place that can hold him accountable. There has to be a strong head coach, and there has to be somebody that's demanding, that holds people accountable, and that is offensive in nature and understands how to deal with quarterbacks and their egos.
I mean, Sean Payton would be a guy that I would say does that. I mean, Mike Tomlin, I think he gets a lot of credit for that, but I don't think that's right, because he had a lot of guys go rogue under him. You know, the Ben Roethlisberger situation, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell. I mean, George Pickens.
Who, by the way, now supposedly scrubbed the social media of the Pittsburgh Steelers from, I guess, who he's following.
Yeah, so he's right.
That's the new kind of like clue that something's going on. What, does he want a new contract and he's not getting one?
No. It's not that. I think it's he's been in trade rumors, apparently, about how they're going to draft a wide receiver and then trade him because he's been a pain in the ass. So, but point being that everybody thinks, oh, you know, go to Mike Tomlin and Mike Tomlin will straighten him out. There's a lot of examples of guys going there and just woo.
All right, so let me ask you a question. I would hope Shador, you know, a place where I think that Shador maybe, just maybe, with the right coach and the right situation, may be successful. The Rams.
Yeah, I like that. And also, one of the things Phil said was the lot of short throws from Shador Sanders. That's definitely a deal with the offense there. Now, you know, Matthew Stafford is going to be there for
two more years at least.
Yeah.
Well, good. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
And you have a head coach that you is engaged, is offensive in nature.
Yeah.
They're going to have a good team.
Right.
They're going to have much, you know, they were a good team last year, you know, going into the playoffs. So
where do they pick again?
I think they're like 22nd or 23rd, maybe.
They are 26.
26, okay.
Man, if he falls all the way at 26, that's going to be something. 21 was the one where I thought it would stop.
So the other story about a couple stories around this. Number one, Kirk Cousins. What's going on with him? Number two, what's going on with Aaron Rodgers? Is Aaron Rodgers waiting to after the draft to see what the Steelers do in the draft?
Are you somebody that takes Aaron Rodgers at his word or not?
Yeah, I kind of think so, yeah.
All right, then that's not what he's doing. What he's doing is he apparently, as he said on McAfee many times, that he's dealing with something serious in his personal life, and he needs to give all his attention to that. And he's been upfront with the teams that have been interested in him, saying, this is what I'm doing now, and I'm not going to tell you what I'm doing until I get this thing squared away. Then we can talk. Now, if he's I've never been the biggest fan of Aaron Rodgers, but if he is using some sort of personal tragedy as a smokescreen to see where these teams are going to draft or what their situation looks like or waiting for an injury, then that's diabolical. I don't think he's doing that. I think that he's serious about what he's saying.
Why would he be out there playing catch with DK Metcalf?
Well, he was asked that question. He said that's part of the process of me learning about an organization and seeing if I want to do this. So he did that. He hasn't come up with his decision yet because he has to deal with this other thing, is what he said. So I'm just going to take him for his word at that juncture, because I can't imagine him going on TV and saying all that stuff and lying about it. So, that's all. You're gonna find out a lot about, you know, what the plans are for the Pittsburgh Steelers if they end up drafting Shador Sanders. Now, I know that Aaron Rodgers could mentor a kid and all of that, but I don't think that the quarterback room of Aaron Rodgers trying to salvage one more year out of his career and Shador Sanders being there is something that is a smart thing to do. That seems to me like a little bit of a, you know, combustible situation.
Well, we all know the Steelers need another quarterback. They actually need two more quarterbacks.
Yeah. So there you go. Could be those two guys. That'd be a crazier quarterback room than the Giants have.
It's probably why Carson Wentz still hasn't signed with anybody.
He hasn't, right?
I don't think he has.
Yeah. I mean, I think the league looks at him as
another stopgap and just, you know, maybe a last-ditch kind of effort situation.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look at the Giants. They picked up two stopgap guys that weren't Carson Wentz. Just shows you what they thought of him.
True.
two stopgaps. Stopgaps all over the place. Michael's in Ohio. What's going on, Michael?
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call. I'm a 7-year-old guy, retired Marine Corps in Columbus, Ohio. My question is, I don't hear anybody, and I really trust your opinion, Boomer. You're the reason why I'm a loyal fan. Every day I DVR your show and watch it.
Oh, thank you, Michael. I appreciate that, and thank you for your service, by the way.
Well, thank you. You paid my pension.
Anyway, yes, we do. Yes. And that's a pension I don't mind paying, by the way.
Well, thank you. But anyway, my question is, why don't you, who I trust your opinion emphatically, give any love to Ohio State guys in the draft?
Wow. You know, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think anybody's going to be in the top 10 of the draft from Ohio State, but I would not be surprised to see at minimum 8 or 9 guys getting drafted, maybe as many as 12 guys being drafted.
Yeah,
well, from Ohio State.
Yeah, it's just that we're not talking about them going to the Jets or talking about them being top 5 picks. So, we're not sitting here, talking about one of their players in particular. And by the way, Will Howard's not someone we expect to go as the top 4 quarterbacks in the draft. So,
Amika, their tight end, their wide receiver will be a first round pick most likely.
Yeah,
I think one of their offensive tackles, Josh Simmons, will be a first round pick.
So it's not like we're hating on the Ohio State prospects. They're just not fitting into the puzzle that we're trying to build for the two local teams right now.
Yeah, they didn't have Shador Sanders playing for them. So,
yeah.
He seems to be taking most of the conversation. But
and also, we're talking incessantly about Abdul Carter these days, who's on Penn State. That's going to annoy Ohio State fan, but he's right up there.
Yep.
And by the way, when it gets...
And who the other one is Will Howard. He'll get drafted somewhere. I would think in the top 3 rounds, he'll be drafted, the quarterback from there.
Right, and this point of the whole thing, I don't care where you went to school unless it was somewhere in Utah. Then I care.
That's the only thing you care about.
Yeah.
And where you went to high school.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it really just, where did you grow up? And if it's anywhere but Utah, I'm okay with you.
Where does Jackson Dart should go where? Kansas City? Denver?
No, we can't. No. He's got to go somewhere because those places he's going to want to start somewhere.
Green Bay. Well, he's not going to start immediately.
But at some point, and those other guys have quarterbacks.
These other teams need backup quarterbacks.
But
too.
He's not.
Whoa. And you also want to develop guys.
But you're not going to draft Bo Nix 1 year and Jackson Dart the next. That'd be stupid.
No, I know that. But what I'm saying is that there are other teams out there that will draft.
You said
one of
Denver.
These. I just gave you Denver just for because of the proximity to Utah.
Oh, okay. Neither one of those places
Carolina?
Make any sense. Yeah, that'd be okay. But then Bryce Young's there. But to find an actual football team in a place that would make sense?
Chargers?
No, they got a young guy.
Hey, you know what? Here's the thing. How about Jacksonville? They got a young guy, and they're paying him. So you got to get the next guy in the pipeline just in case. And if one of these young guys you just paid a ton of money to doesn't pan out and you think this guy behind him that you did draft in the 3rd or 2nd round.
Well, that's different. Jackson Dart could be a first round pick. He could be a high second round pick, according to what everybody's saying now. You don't draft that guy when you think you have your franchise quarterback.
Well, what did the Falcons do last year?
Yeah, but the other guy, then they sat him.
Yeah.
But Kirk Cousins at the end of his career. All the teams that you're mentioning, Bryce Young, Trevor Lawrence, Bo Nix, Patrick Mahomes, the best in the league. Like, that's not Kirk Cousins in his first year as a Falcon.
Like you're saying that San Francisco wouldn't draft one of these guys. Because they're going to pay Brock Purdy.
It would be a waste of a pick that high because he's not going to play.
What about Dallas? Well, they just traded for the kid from...
Joe Milton, yeah. So where should Jackson Dart go?
Yeah.
New Orleans?
Oof. I'm telling you, whoever goes there is going to... It's going to be fire and fall back, dude. You're just going to get steamrolled.
Raiders?
Yeah, Raiders are a good spot for one of these young kids. Yeah, for sure. Seattle? Minnesota?
No, I don't think, because I got J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, but that's one player.
I'm surprised you're not understanding what I'm saying here. It's very odd to me. Teams don't draft a first-round quarterback that they believe in, and then it only happened one time, where it was Josh Rosen and Kyler Murray. J.J. McCarthy hasn't played yet. So they are not going to use, by the way, they only have four picks, and one of them is in the first round.
That's a different story.
Jackson Dart, that it's just a waste of time.
Well, that's a different story because they only have four picks.
If Jackson Dart goes in the first or second round, or early in the second round.
How about Cleveland?
Yes, that's fine. Cleveland? That's fine. But the team that drafts him expects him to be their franchise quarterback at some point.
We believe that both Cleveland and the Giants are coming out of this draft with quarterbacks.
At some point, yes.
Yeah.
They have to. They don't. It's a big problem. I hope it's not Jackson Dart for the Giants.
I believe Vegas has got to come out of this draft with a quarterback somewhere.
You know, I'd really like to talk to Connor Shane about this because, what was his name? It's Carson Shane. I really like to talk to Carson Shane because he was on Jaden Daniels last year. Right. So if Carson tells me that Jackson Dart's the guy, then I'll feel better about it.
Yeah.
But I got Phil Simms to my left 2 days ago calling him Pudgy. I mean, we're talking Utah and Pudgy. Can't have that.
That's a double negative. Yeah, that's two check marks against you.
Pudgy and Utah. I mean, I'm throwing that guy right off the board if I'm a GM.
And you got to believe Pittsburgh's coming out of this draft for the quarterback.
Yeah, Pittsburgh would be a nice place for Jackson Dart.
Hmm. All right.
Seattle. Well, nice sign, Sam.
Yeah, but that deal in Sam Darnold, that's not...
Yeah,
it's not
Seattle wouldn't be a terrible place. That would be okay.
They're going to need backup. All these teams are going to need young, hopefully, good backups that they can develop, whether it be a Kyle McCord.
Yeah.
Will Howard.
Tyler Shuck.
Yeah.
Shuck and Duck. I can see the headline now.
You can see that right now.
Oh, yeah. Tyler Shuck sacked 15 times. And Giants lost to Eagles.
Shuck and Duck on the back page.
Shuck and Duck.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, PSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Check out Evan and Tiki at American Dream today doing their show 2 to 6:30 at the Dream Bar on Level 2, getting you ready for the NFL draft. You can go hang out with them, watch the show live today starting at 2 o'clock. Another shout out for the fundraiser I'm having at the Portly Villager on Sunday. We've moved it up to 1 o'clock. And it is a big one. We're trying to get as much money as possible, more than last year. And we are very excited to announce we do have Yankee tickets now. We've given away from the Yankees themselves, who heard me talking about this. And Kevin Dart over there was kind enough to say, hey, put me in touch with somebody who would like to donate some tickets to auction off. So that is awesome. We are auctioning off a round at Atlantic, which is a just all-world top 100 golf course in America. That is super exclusive, and you don't get a chance to do that very often. Maybe a once-in-a-lifetime spot. We're also doing a round at Baiting Hollow, which is one of my favorite courses out there. We're doing a Ryder Cup situation, me and Jerry and two others. I was hoping Boomer would say yes. He didn't. But me and Jerry are going to do that, and we have two spots open. So when Boomer, if and when he changes his mind, we could have we'll keep a spot open for him against four guys. That'll be sometime in the fall. That minimum bid is $2,000. But this is all live auction stuff, so you got to be there at the Portly Villager in Sayville, starting at 1 o'clock when the Knicks game starts. Other great raffles and all of that good stuff.
You know, a lot of people say to me, where does your money go with your foundation? I said, well, it goes into a number of different programs that we run. And one of the things I'm most proud of is something that Gunnar and Darcy started for us about 3 years ago, and it's our IVF BEF program. And we help people meet the cost of going through IVF to hopefully help them start a family. And quite frankly, I just got a very nice note this morning that we've had our ninth BEF baby just born, and his name is Harrison, and he's from Oregon.
That is awesome.
And there he is right there.
That is as good as it gets.
That's as good as it gets. So that's one of the programs that we have, and it's, like I said, we've had nine babies born in the last 2 years, and hopefully another four or five on the way, and many more after that.
And obviously, I don't understand the complications of CF and getting pregnant, but I do understand how costly IVF can be, and helping out those families with another layer now with CF is one of those things that, I mean, Gina cried for 2 days straight when she found about that program that you guys were doing, so... Yeah, that is as good as it gets.
I always tell people, for adult male CF patients, most of them are born without a vas deferens, so a natural vasectomy. So in order for them to be the biological father, they have to do what Gunnar did, and they have to go in with the syringe into the testicles.
Needle to the nuts, yeah.
And basically have to go through that entire process, and they have to make sure that Darcy's egg does not carry the CF gene,
right?
Because Gunnar's sperm does. And it's really a remarkable thing to watch my son become a father himself. And he's got two beautiful children who are beyond loved. I mean, they are smothered with love and joy. And they are truly our miracles. Gunnar is my hero. They are our miracles.
So you heard all of that. This is what we're doing on Sunday. 1 to 4, the Portly Villager. Every single cent that we raise goes to the Boomer Esiason Foundation, and maybe this time next year you could have helped have a BEF baby number 12 or 13.
You never know. That's one of the programs that we do, and it's one of the ones I'm most proud of, because we've come a long way from saving lives to now helping create families and build families.
Sunday, 1 o'clock, Portly Villager, Sayville. All right. Jerry, what's going on over there?
Well, we are brought to you by New York Auto Show. Visit autoshowny.com. What is going on is the draft. First round tonight. So a couple of maybe targets for the Giants, if you will. Here is Jalen Milroe. What it has been like dealing with Big Blue through this process.
It's been fun to get to build a relationship with them. This is a team that I spend a lot of time with, communicated with, and learning their system, being able to see their plays, seeing how they run it, It's been great.
So I don't expect him to be drafted number three, but he could be the Giants quarterback of the future. So maybe could be Jackson Dart. This is from a couple of days ago on the Kay Adams show on Meeting with the Giants.
They were great. You know, I feel like the people in the organization really get it and they want to win. They want to win now. And I think that that's something that, you know, was very apparent in the way that they were talking to me. And, you know, I think that it would be a special opportunity, especially with the connections that I had with Eli and just all the resources that I would have there, I think would be a great opportunity for sure.
You know, Jerry, I look at the draft big board and look who has the most draft picks going into this draft tonight. Cleveland's got a ton of drafts. Jacksonville, ton of draft picks. The 49ers have a ton of draft picks. Seattle Seahawks look like they're pretty well stocked, as well as the New England Patriots. So a number of these teams could be able to really refortify their teams and set them up for a nice future.
And it does appear, by reading from all the experts, Abdul Carter likely to go third. How'd it go for him when he met with the Giants?
I think it went well. Definitely got a good feeling with them, and we'll see what happens tomorrow.
Will you bring an explosiveness to the table?
For sure, I'm bringing everything.
Big explosiveness, so we shall see Bruce back there out in Green Bay. First round tonight, Titans, Browns, Giants, 1-2-3, the Jets selecting.
I will say this, as a player who went through this, an active player, when the team that you play for is drafting a player that plays your position, is a little disconcerting. So I would imagine that Kayvon Thibodeau is probably feeling a little bit of the heat right now.
Even though, like you talked about, you could move this kid around?
I would like to see three of them play here, but the Giants may not feel that that's going to be workable, and maybe they want to trade back in and they want to use him as a trade piece. I don't know. That could be the case. But it happened to me when I was in Cincinnati. They drafted David Klingler, number four overall in 1992.
Yeah, I'm fine with Kayvon Thibodeau going somewhere else if it helps them upgrade the team in other areas. To me, he's a zero.
Which, by the way, is the number Zach Wilson's going to wear.
Fitting.
Yes, as he goes down to Miami. Understood. All right, let's move to the baseball. Mets beat the Phillies in 10-4-3. Seven straight wins. Complete the homestand sweep. Sweep away Philadelphia. Starling Marte, the game winner. This was through a translator on SNY.
I was patient. I was waiting to get a ball in the zone. I didn't try to do too much. I didn't try to put too much pressure on myself, and I was able to get a good result there.
Mets now 18-7. I mentioned 7-0 at Citi Field. This was Pete Alonso. He had an RBI double just before the Marte hit.
I mean, perfect homestand, Ken. I mean, can't get any better than that. I mean, this was awesome.
Right now, the best record in baseball, Juan Soto, maybe not hitting the ball the way we would like, obviously, a .233 batting average, but he did contribute yesterday, eighth inning, gunned down Nick Castellanos trying to score at home.
I'm trying my best, you know, to come through with a bat, but whenever that doesn't come through, I got to do something else. You know, we play defense, we run the bases right, and I think today I have the chance to help the team with my defense, and I think I feel great with that.
And give Sanger some credit too for making that
terrible
catch and
slide by Castellanos, though.
Okay, yeah, probably not great, but that was a very nice play. Everything went well.
What kind of slide that was?
Throwing the game. I don't know.
Well, I mean, his feet missed the plate completely.
Yeah, I mean, usually you see those guys with the one hand in,
yes,
thing,
like diving in or something.
I think what he was probably trying to do there. And he was kind of in between,
past or whatever,
like slide wide and hand and grab it with the hand.
Maybe. But
I think what he probably thought is, I'm going to slide in, and this throw is going nowhere near the catcher because Juan Soto's out there. That's what I think he was thinking.
You might be right. Mets will be in Washington coming up this weekend. The Yankees, meantime, will play Toronto over the weekend. Just one from Carlos Rodon talking about Aaron Judge. Judge continues to hit the baseball. Rodon was very good yesterday in a 5-1 win. Here was Rodon on Judge.
Right now, he's like Tony Gwynn. And then, you know, next week he'll probably be, you know, like Hank Aaron. So, just guys shows speeds on the base path, and he makes a heck of a play and right there in the tough spot there in the fifth, and makes, I mean, that's a tough play. He made it look easy.
Interesting music choice, isn't it?
Yeah, I couldn't catch that one.
Really?
I couldn't
that's
get
like
it.
The early 80s, I think.
Yeah, so give me the night.
Yes.
Yeah, oh, cool, okay. In the gang?
Might be.
Let me look.
It could be.
I was thinking it was something new. That's where my brain was.
Oh, no, that was old.
Maybe it was a mashup.
Did not sound like a mashup.
Right now, he's like Tony Gwynn, and then, you know, next week he'll probably be, you know, like Hank Aaron. So, just guys shows speeds on the base path, and he makes a heck of a play and right.
George Benson.
George Benson, that's who.
Okay. Give me the night.
That's it. Anyway, Yankees and Blue Jays tomorrow night. The Dan Patrick Show's on the road. I thought this was interesting because he had Doug Gottlieb sitting there as a guest. Now, Gottlieb
is in Green Bay, right?
So that's right.
Sounds like
so
a sports radio joke.
Yeah.
Dan Patrick and Doug Gottlieb walking
maybe,
through a bar.
But I just thought this was funny. This was a very... The clips that were put out there are kind of chippy. So this one, he asked Gottlieb about an odd older tweet.
By the way, didn't you critique Caitlin Clark's shooting form?
Yes. Yes.
But see, that's where you... Like, no.
What do you mean, no?
No.
What do you mean, no?
No.
Hold on. Wait.
No.
Wait.
I could critique her shot.
No.
You.
No. How many Division I men's have you logged, Dan?
That's a little snarky retort, right?
Oh, that's, yeah.
How many minutes have you played? How about the response from Dan Patrick on the fly?
Oh, I have to play now to understand shooting?
Well,
I haven't coached a game.
You're correct.
I probably can coach and win 4 games.
Again?
Yes. I could probably win 5.
Okay.
Yes.
That's kind of funny.
I thought that was pretty good.
It is good.
Watched it, it was icy.
I'm sure.
Cheesy there, yeah. Crunchy.
A little crunchy. That's a good way to put it.
Doug Gottlieb could not find himself in a situation where he doesn't come off as the biggest douche on 2 feet. It's impossible for him to just be likable. He can't be likable at all.
And he was here, right? Was he the one with the hair?
Yes, he was.
Yeah, he sprayed the hair.
Yeah, he sprayed the hair.
No, he was here.
You should try that, Jerry.
Why? My hair is about as full as yours is. I'm good.
So speaking of...
You're the one who said that you were going to wear a hat because you were losing your
hair. Right, I'm not doing any crazy stuff. My hair is what it is.
Okay. And Doug Gottlieb was here on CBS Sports Radio, which is now Infinity Sports Network.
Right.
And we've been promoting the Evan and Tiki Show. They've got a draft show tonight.
Who?
It's Bart Winkler and JR Sport Brief. So
for reals?
Yeah. So that'll be pumped out across the country via Odyssey, free Odyssey app. So, Bart Winkler and JR Sport Brief. Sounds cool. Like Kayvon Thibodeau and Evan Neal.
Not nice, Eddie. Think they want our draft guru, Al Dukes, to call in tonight?
I kind of like a little bit of JR Sport
Brief. I know you do. Right now. Oh, no, yes. They're both fine. I didn't know they were draft experts, but that's cool.
Hopefully there's a giant Brazilian man that gets drafted. So JR can build on his brand.
That's why it's the Infinity Sports.
That's exactly right. That story is unbelievable. You take one day off of sports, but it's have to change the whole name of the network
because JR decides to go rogue.
The giant Brazilian woman from South Carolina that knocks people over.
And then the coach hears it. Somebody said it to her.
Well, whatever, she heard it.
Of course, yes. Dawn Staley. Yeah.
Tonight in Detroit.
Game 3. I forgot about that.
For the Knicks and the Pistons. The Rockets, Cavs, Celtics all won last night. And the Rangers are keeping Chris Drury. They gave him a contract extension. All right, time now for moment of the day. And the guys last hour wondering, if the Giants take Abdul Carter tonight, which is expected, what would happen if Carter, say, wanted to wear Phil Simms' retired number 11 like he wore at Penn State?
Could you imagine, let's say, John Mara calls up Phil Simms?
I have a tough time sleeping at night. Phil. John Mara, we're going to retire 11. Unretire 11. Give it to Abdul Carter.
Man, you could take that 11 and stuff it up your butt. Woo! Woo! Yeah. Asparagus!
Tomato, banana, papaya, apple, grape, wild blueberry. Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
This picture gets so angry. He's just listing the ingredients.
Orange, cherries, cranberries, broccoli, spinach, onions. Oh, I love onions. Green cabbage. We got garlic, red cabbage, carrots, kale. Man, just nothing but a lot of good ingredients in this.
He's so angry. His brain just switches into reading the ingredients. Fell into nature.
So is that a yes, Phil?
No.
I love onions! Raspberry, pineapple, mango, sweet cherry, lemon! Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh!
Well, we'll see if that happens tonight.
Moment of the day.
I don't know why that struck me so like it did, but just with all the stuff he's done in his life, you know, and he's just unassuming day, like nothing's going on. He gets that phone call and his brain just goes haywire.
Yeah, by the way, your buddy Sal Licata sent me a text saying that Warren Moon would consider giving up the number one to Cam Ward if he goes to Tennessee.
We talked about that.
Yeah, I mean, but my thing is, like, the team should be protecting those numbers. They're retired for a reason.
It's also the Oilers.
Yeah, I know, exactly. The Titans aren't. I know it's the same thing, but it's not.
It's not.
If that makes any sense.
It's not.
Yeah, but again, all right, so that's a different situation. Maybe that's a little bit of a twisted situation. But, I mean, the Giants are history. Giants are a traditional team. And I don't know. I just think it's up to the team to protect the numbers for the greatness that the players gave their fans and gave their team. That's all.
Oh, when is it okay? How long?
I think forever, actually.
Forever.
You don't see the Yankees making any exceptions.
They're going to have to stop retiring
the
numbers.
Freaking Yankees.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, number 99 is getting retired. You know that.
It probably will.
You think somebody's getting number two? Absolutely not. Somebody getting eight? No way. Somebody getting one? No way.
When can someone wear number three? He said 2090.
No way.
He said 150 years after death.
No way. You got to protect those numbers and those retired players. And that's why the Yankees are the Yankees. And hopefully the Giants aren't the Yankees because they gave number one to Malik Nabers.
Yeah, but that was the family that did that. And there could have been a cash.
All right, so 100 years after death, it'll be the family.
Yeah. Right. They're making the decision. Can't do it when the guy's alive.
Like, there was talk about giving Aaron Rodgers Joe Namath's jersey. That was a disaster. That would have been an absolute disaster.
Yeah, can't do that. And Joe Namath said he would, I think.
I think so, too.
Yeah, imagine the way it worked out.
The only thing I'm saying about that would make that a little bit different is because you have a Hall of Famer, and you know Aaron Rodgers is going to be a Hall of Famer, and his numbers blow away Joe Namath's numbers. That's a little bit different.
But those two guys as Jets, totally different situation.
Right? Yeah. But they're not giving out number 12 in Green Bay or number 4 in Green Bay, are they? No.
I know we got to go, but here's why the draft sucks. You mentioned David Klingler.
Yes.
Picked what, number 4 overall?
I thought number 4,
That kind of felt you were on the way out?
Yeah.
But he stunk. I mean, my career, 3,900 yards, 16 touchdowns, 22 picks. Hope it was worth it, number 4 overall.
Yeah, no, I know.
I mean, not everybody.
Boomer.
Not everybody's, you know, that's why I say it's not for everybody. Just because you're picked somewhere, you still have to earn it.
I'm just saying, it's a sham.
They drafted Achilles Smith, too.
But also, I mean, every great player in the league was drafted.
Yes.
You know? So, like, somewhere.
But we talk about these guys like, number 4, we got to get our quarterback.
Well, they're trying. I mean, no one can look into the future. I mean,
but no one knows.
Right.
That's all.
Sure.
We talk to these experts like they know. They don't know.
Well, no. The teams don't know.
Correct.
Nobody knows.
Right.
But as fans, we got to know. We got to talk about it. You know, it's the same thing with projecting teams. We have no goddamn idea whether the teams are going to win or lose.
No, we don't.
How they're going to go. But you project all of it.
Yeah.
That's what you do. We couldn't do that. We wouldn't be here.
I agree with that. I hate the draft.
I know you do.
Why do you hate it?
I like it.
It's interesting.
Most turn out to be nothing.
Yeah, I know that. But it's still interesting. And it's a big production. And it's a big deal. You know that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning.
because we started together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
So here it is, the George Benson song that the Yankees were playing in the clubhouse after the win yesterday. What is it called again?
Give Me the Night.
Give Me the Night, George Benson. I got to give them credit, man. Like going back like that, playing a jam like this. I don't know if it was one of the coaches that had a chance to play the music and he was a older guy or one of the young guys, you know, threw it back to this. But either
way.
Well,
how about Francisco Lindor coming up with My Girl?
Yeah, sure. That's another one.
Yeah. I mean, it's all good. Hey, music is great from every era.
It is.
Especially the 70s, man. 70s was real music.
I'm alarmed because the song that I like the most is from an artist that I can't stand. And I'm having a conflict with this. So, like, there's a song that came out that I absolutely love. It's my favorite song right now.
Who's the artist?
Chapel Roan.
Okay.
Don't like her. Never
Why not?
It. Just.
Is she like. Is it politically a political thing or something?
Yeah, she said a couple things that I just think were really off-putting. Okay. And then she just, I don't know, there's something, she has like clown makeup on when she performs. It's an odd thing.
But you like the song.
And now this, I was like, man, I don't know, why is she so popular? Like this whole thing, I don't get it. And now this song is out and that's all I can listen to. So like, shout out Chapel Roan because now I'm in. And then it's like now it's growing on me like a fungus, because now there's two other songs of hers that I like.
Well, you have a thing about songs. Like every year, I feel like you find a summer song. You haven't found the summer song.
Oh, I
yet
did.
This year.
I found.
You did.
Oh, I found it. It's this one.
Oh, the Chapel Roan song.
Yeah,
is the summer song.
One. Yeah.
What's this one called again?
It's called The Giver. And if you listen to the beginning,
yeah,
it's right off the bat. Like I play all my old like.
All right, there you go. Yeah,
see?
I can see
right?
it.
You can
definitely
see it.
Yeah, hanging out at the Mermaid, drinking a couple cocktails out there.
She
in the
uses
dock.
A fiddle in the thing, for God's sakes.
Yeah,
and that hits me in my bluegrass roots. You know,
you and jalapeno drink.
Yeah,
she's got a great voice, by the way.
I know. Now I gotta like her.
All right,
that's all you have to do. I just play this part.
Just try to stay away from the political stuff. You'll be fine.
All right, it's going to do it for us. Thanks, everybody. Working hard on the show today. Eddie Scazzeri, Al Dukes, Jerry Recco, Tom Izzo. Talk to you tomorrow. Huge feel-good Friday. Let's go Knicks. Draft reaction. It's going to be a big one.